Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and Friday, and I feel like I'm doing this show tonight from Green Bay because our temperatures feel like a day up there in Green Bay. We have 23 degrees on Friday night, and it feels like 17 or something like that, and it's going to be like this for the next 3 or 4 days. This is going to be a winter storm, I guess that's what they call it. And we're going to get some snow. They're forecasting some heavy snow. I mean, this is – we usually get 1 week of the year like this. I mean, we'll have one week of the year when we got a bad storm. And I guess it's going to be this one. So everybody's packed in, you know, just kind of getting ready to stay inside and let the winter go by. Well, we'll be chatting in a few minutes with our friend George Rodriguez. We'll be talking about a couple of issues, the situation on the border. We've been getting weekly updates from George as to what's happening down there. I understand they're building some tents for some of the people who are coming over. But what's interesting is I was reading a press report that half or one-third of the people coming over are young men. They're young men. So these are not, you know, these are not children. Or these are not parents looking for their children, which is what we've been, you know, we've been told that this is all about. And so, I mean, if these are young men who are coming over, that certainly doesn't fit the profile of family reunification, which is what we've been hearing about. Of course, the problem, you know, the biggest problem of it all is COVID and the possibility of bringing people into the country in the middle of a COVID campaign. So that's that is really the issue. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl ratings came in, and to say the least, they were not probably what the NFL was expecting. They had the lowest ratings since 2007, which is 14 years ago. I wonder who played in 2007. I'm trying to remember. I know it was not the Cowboys, but I wonder who played in 2007. But anyway, this year, what I thought was a perfect – you know, a perfect match between the young quarterback Mahomes and the veteran quarterback Brady, and, you know, Brady going after Super Bowl number 6. I mean, it had all the elements. It had all the elements of being a fantastic event, certainly from a television standpoint, but it didn't work out that way. So we'll get into a little bit of that with George as well. 23 degrees, that's what we have right now. 23 degrees, and it feels like 10. 23, and it feels like 10. That is not typical for North Texas, to say the least. Well, on this day in history, as we wait for George, I just wanted to talk about Abraham Lincoln, who was born on this day in 1809. You know, I have a post over at the American Thinker today talking about the fact that some schools in San Francisco are actually even talking about replacing Abraham Lincoln's name from the school list. And it is absolutely, you know, it is just absolutely incredible that the name of Abraham Lincoln would even be talked about in terms of being replaced. Now, somebody at the school board was saying that they're doing away with any name that has any connotation to racism or colonialism or, you know, stuff like that. Well, I'm not exactly sure what Abraham Lincoln has to do with any of those terrible things that happened. I think they're angry at Abraham Lincoln or President Lincoln because he didn't do enough about Native Americans. And look, that's a bad chapter in the country's history. Everybody knows that, the way some of the Native Americans were treated. But I'm not sure that Abraham Lincoln had anything to do with that, unless unless I'm ignorant of a certain point here in history. I know President Andrew Jackson had a I know that President Andrew Jackson. Oop, there we go. I know that President Andrew Jackson was involved in some activities regarding what was that called, the Trail of Tears, I think it was called, back in his term, I guess, which would have been sometime in 1828, 1830. So I mean, that I can understand, but not Abraham Lincoln. There's something wrong, I think, when the name of Abraham Lincoln is even mentioned as a possibility of a cancellation. It certainly shows a certain ignorance, if you will, on the part of the people who are promoting this thing. So we'll see. We'll see how it works out. But I really feel very strongly that we have got to come together with this cancel culture that has completely just disrupted so much of our lives. This lady from Disney who just got fired, and you know, there was a reporter at the New York Times who just got fired too for apparently at one time using the N-word. I don't know the whole context of the story, but you know, there comes a point in time where you have to be willing to say to people, okay, you made a mistake, let's just get over it and move on. And it seems like we live in a society right now where a certain group of people will not tolerate any mistake. I mean, if you say something wrong, or if you are on the other side of the politics or whatever, they're going to go after you, and they're going to be vicious in going after you. And I just think that's a bad thing for the country. I really do. It's a very bad thing for the country because it's tearing up the country. It's dividing up the country. And really, the only way that sensible Americans are going to be able to deal with this, the only way you fight back is to simply stand up to some of these corporations who are going along with it and say, we're not going to support your products. We're not going to buy your services. We're not going to watch the Super Bowl, whatever. That's probably the only way that you can actually go back and deal with this. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem that is going to continue to divide us more and more and more and more. This cancel culture is just absolutely absolutely devastating. Let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez. George, give me a weather report because I think you're doing better than I am.
Oh, gosh, you sound all stuffed up. Well, let me tell you, the reason I apologize for being late, my neighbor just had a big busted pipe just explode. I mean, it's like a gusher out there. So
wow.
I had to help him. It's really sad. It the wind chill is, it was 29 when I first chatted with you, when I first sent you a little message earlier today. It's down to 28 now, the wind chill. It is 31 degrees, and they say that it's going to get worse. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday is going to be the worst. So
yeah, that's what they're saying up here too. That's exactly what they're saying.
I cannot imagine.
Well, it's right now. It's 23 here, and according to this, it feels like 10. So I'm not sure how they calculate that, but it's 23 and it feels like 10. But it is really, it's probably a lot worse than that, frankly. It's just a very bad, just a very cold situation. I think, you know, George, we get one of these every year.
We should be prepared for it. But
yeah, we get one of these every year. And, we just, as I say, we just hope that it doesn't take too long, but it looks like it could be around till Wednesday. That's what I'm hearing.
Weather report. That's the worry that everybody's got, is that as it prolongs, that's going to the freezing is going to go deeper and deeper. So one of the things that I did earlier was turn off all the sprinklers, so mm-hmm. that there's no water running through them at all. So
Well, here is the forecast here. Sunday, 25, this is the high. Monday, the high of 12. And Tuesday, the high of 19. And then Wednesday, 27. And then by Thursday, it starts getting back to 32, 39 by Friday. So we're going to be doing this or having this probably till about Wednesday. So as they say, buy the milk and have the coffee, because you're going to be consuming a lot of it inside the house, to say the least. Well, we're talking about a couple of things today, George, the Super Bowl ratings and the situation on the border. But I wanted just right as you were coming in, I was talking about Abraham Lincoln, who was born on this day in 1809, and the fact that there are schools in there's a school in San Francisco, a school district in San Francisco, talking about removing his name, George. And that, you know, that borders
incredible.
On insanity. I mean, that is just total.
It really is.
It's ignorance, too, when you think about it, because if anybody was associated with, well, certainly, you know, he signed the proclamation, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation, but more important than that, he worked, as you know, for the 13th Amendment. So, I mean, this is a man who clearly did a lot for the country, George.
You know, it is the only thing that I can think of is that these folks are so immature and insecure that you know, they cannot dwell on or they can't tolerate someone who did so much good, because they concentrate on some petty little things, and the petty little things become so magnified to these characters. It's not, I mean, it's pathological. It really is. These folks, you know, like your good little friend there, Mark Cuban, you know, the national anthem does not offend anyone, or should not offend anyone who sees the great things that America has done. However, if you concentrate on it being, you know, a half empty glass, if you concentrate on the bad things that have happened in America, well, of course, you know, you're not going to have the pride that you've got. But it's really pathetic. Really pathetic.
It is, and the whole idea that, you know, to be fair, I guess he backed down because the NBA told him to back down. There was also quite a backlash against him, so Mark Cuban backed down. But the mere fact that he was even willing to support the idea is...
Yeah, or that he defended himself by saying that there are people who are offended by American history and what the anthem represents.
Right.
And yeah, you know, there are. But, you know, because these folks are offended, you're going to stop, you know, playing the anthem. Why not? Yeah. Why not help these people concentrate on the positive?
That's it. I mean, every country has something in its history that you can always pick on. But I mean,
yeah.
the point is that I think in the case of the United States, there are a lot more positive things that we can talk about. And we seem to be going through this period right now where we're just like, you know, every little thing, and everybody wants to cancel everybody. And I don't think the country can survive that. And now,
yeah.
I was saying before you came in that I think the way you get back at these people, George, is to go after some of these businesses who are basically, you know, supporting this stuff, this cancel culture. And I think maybe the NFL got a taste of it this year, because the ratings for the NFL were down to 2007 levels. So, that, you know, the last time, you know, that's 13 years or 14 years ago, George. So I don't even know who played 14 years ago. But that's a big drop, wouldn't you say, George?
Yes. And I think, you know, one of the things that I noticed was that, you know, the kneeling was not shown or was not present. The Black Lives Matter logos were not visible or present. I'm not sure which. A lot of the social justice nonsense, and I will call it nonsense, that might offend some people, but to me it's nonsense. A lot of the social justice stuff that was you know, being pushed kind of disappeared. And I think that there was, you know, they got the hint. And I think that next year it'll probably be, it'll be probably more football and less politics, I hope.
But
they've already lost. They have lost a lot of folks.
Well, and this is the point I was thinking today, that I've heard from a lot of friends who have tuned out the NFL. Well, certainly the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Have tuned out the
NBA.
Yeah. And
more
so
than
you have
the
a lot
NBA.
Of fans. Yeah, the NBA especially, because I think they went too far. But the NFL, you know, some people have tuned it out, and I see it. You know, I see it in social media a lot, and now you see these ratings. If I was the NFL, I think I would worry about it, George.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you don't offend your customers. That is a basic principle of a free society, you know, in a free economy. You don't offend your customers. Now, you know, I remember very, very clearly that when it first happened, when Black Lives Matter was initially pushing, you know, the NFL and the NBA to do this and to do that, there were comments by some people on ESPN saying, you know, that the NFL and the NBA were the only game in town, and where were people going to go? Well, they went.
They went somewhere.
They went somewhere. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
You know, it really has shown. Again, it's shown that these folks that who push these agendas do not have anything other than their agenda in mind. That's it.
Yeah. Right. No, I think you're right, and I hope that the NFL got their lesson or learned their lesson, because I thought this year, George, they had about as good a game or a PR situation when you have Brady, the veteran quarterback on one hand, and Mahomes, the youngster on the other. I mean, it was just a perfect setup, I thought, for just a fantastic audience. And it didn't quite turn out that way. So hopefully they're learning their lesson.
And some people did try to make an issue of it, you know, after the game. On Monday, by saying that you know, there were some folks saying that Tom Brady was too conservative, that he was a Trump person, and he was, you know, he shouldn't
right.
have, you know. I mean, yeah,
right.
it never ends. It never
no, it
never
doesn't.
Ends.
You're right. But it turns off people. And
it does.
It, you know, I have not been as passionate about the NFL as I've been before. And other people have simply tuned it out completely. Now, I have not tuned it out completely. I did still follow the Cowboys a little bit, but not like I have before. So, so you know, I think a lot of people have had it, and I don't blame them, George. I mean, look, we turn the TV to watch a game. We don't turn it on
That's
to watch a bunch of people lecturing at us.
That's right. And you know, ESPN has lost a ton of folks, and they have had let a lot of people go. That was one of those situations where hopefully they've learned a lesson, but I'm not sure if they have. I mean, you know, people have got to understand that race relations are not benefited
mm-hmm.
by negative lecturing.
Right.
That doesn't help anybody.
No, I think you're right. And I think when you're being, you know, when you're being blamed, you know, it's one thing to talk about the history in a, you know, in a thoughtful way and say, look, this happened, that happened. Let's, you know, keep that in mind. But it's quite another thing when you're being blamed.
Exactly.
For what happened
exactly.
200 years ago. And then you say, wait a minute,
exactly.
Why are you blaming me? You know, and I think that's where a lot of this stuff. I also think the other thing, George, and then we'll take a break, but the other thing that I believe hurt this movement a great deal was the attack on the police. I really believe that hurt the movement a great deal, because I think most Americans love the police.
Yep. And I'm not sure that if you saw it or noticed it, but that was one of the things that I picked up on in watching the Super Bowl on Sunday, was that there was recognition of police officers.
Well, that's good.
And
that's good.
Yeah, that surprised me.
That's
surprised
necessary.
Me a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, we should recognize the police, the healthcare workers. I mean, that's those are the people who've been carrying the heavy load here over the last year or so. We're going to take a little break, and when we get back, we'll talk about the border and get an update on what's happening down there. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We're chatting with our friend George Rodriguez. Texas looks a little bit like Green Bay tonight, George, but I'm sure the people up in Green Bay don't want to hear that because, you know, they probably think we're a bunch of sissies. They say, hey, we do this every year, buddy. What are you complaining about? You know, we get 3-4 months of this, so we get 3 or 4 days and we start complaining. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about the border, George. I saw a news report today that a couple of things in the report. Number one, that they're building tents, I guess, for for families, I guess, or for people. But what really caught my attention, but what caught my attention was that a third of the people, according to this news report, a third of the people were young Mexican men. And I always thought, wait a minute, I thought we were reuniting families. What's this all about? So what can you tell us, George?
Well, what is happening again, the policies that Biden is reversing, the Trump policies that Biden is reversing, have caused people, all people, I mean everybody, to just start coming across and seeking asylum, seeking refugee status, or seeking seeking their family, seeking to be reunited with their families, and you know, lots of Mexicans have taken advantage of two things. First of all, the cartel wars that are going on constantly now, I mean daily, constantly, in along the border, in the border towns, have taken a real toll on folks. The second thing is that COVID, there is a very, very poor Mexican health system that has taken a toll on folks, and they're crossing as well. And third, you know, just the idea that they're going to get some type of temporary status, which could probably turn into years of staying in the United States. Is encouraging a lot of folks in Mexico to come across. Now, it's not just Mexicans that are coming across, but the large number of them that are taking advantage of the situation right now are Mexicans because, well, you know, Mexico is still controlling to a large degree because of its COVID situation, a lot of foreigners from crossing and coming through. There were two caravans that started out from Central America. They were very, very strong going through Guatemala, but when they got to the Mexican border, they kind of petered out. And so Mexico has done a very, very good job of stopping the COVID situation. So consequently, the people that are coming, that are on the border right now, coming across into and getting into these 10 cities, are mostly Mexicans. One of the problems, though, that is really big. I was talking to one of my Border Patrol friends right a little while ago. There's a great deal of concern, though, that these temperatures in the next few days is going to take a tremendous toll on folks coming across in unauthorized areas.
Yes, I would think so, yeah.
It's going to really, really do a number on them because a lot of them just continue to recklessly come across. And, you know, this situation that we've got right now, I mean, the temperature is going to be deadly. It's going to be deadly.
Right. Well, it'll be below freezing in some cases, which would be, as you say, deadly. Now, what's interesting, though, is that the press secretary, the lady who's the press secretary for President Biden, was saying that, basically telling them, look, you know, this is probably not a good time for you to come, which is a bit laughable.
Right.
I mean, it's laughable.
I mean
yeah, so now you tell them that. So now we tell them this is not a good time to come.
It's so half-hearted.
Yeah,
it's so half-hearted.
Like, why didn't they say this, you know, 6 months ago and say, look, you know, yeah, we're going to be more humane, but we got to take care of the COVID first. So, I mean,
these people
who've come over are here because they were – they were encouraged to come over by promises.
They were enticed.
Yes.
They were enticed.
Absolutely.
And,
I mean, they
and
were
and
told.
And it continues. The enticement continues. I mean, you know, in the past few days, you've had the situation where detainees in the United States are being released. So that that doesn't help the situation. You've had the situation where the Border Patrol is told not to make arrests. That doesn't help. That doesn't help the situation. ICE is told not to make arrests. These types of situations don't help. Don't help to dissuade people from coming across.
That's it. And I think the problem is, the problem is that these people who are in this tent, have we checked them for COVID?
No.
Are we checking people?
I doubt it too.
You're bringing people over.
Unless they get really, really sick. Unless they are really, really sick, when they're picked up or when they're under custody.
Right. But then if they get sick, where are they going to go for care? What hospital are they going to go to?
Well, that's why we've got hospitals in Laredo and in El Paso and in Del Rio just overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, it's a situation when it's not just the illegal immigration problem, but it's now a health problem, and exactly how we're going to deal with it. Now, at what point, George? At what point does the governor of Texas say we cannot handle this?
That's a good question.
has he hinted on that at all, or?
Oh yeah, him, Paxton, and the lieutenant governor, the attorney general Paxton, Ken Paxton, and the lieutenant governor, both have said that action needs to be taken, and they've told the legislature that that something needs to be done. Of course, it's going to turn into a political ballgame before long, but. The governor could certainly use some kind of emergency powers to take some actions. The question again is, when he does, will the federal government, specifically the Biden-Harris administration, will they do something to challenge it and to stop them and to prevent them? And they could federalize the National Guard, for example, if the governor ever went so far as to put the National Guard or put state troopers on the border to stop the entry, technically the federal government could federalize the National Guard and make them stand down.
That's true.
This is a political ballgame that's going to be played, and sadly, it's going to be played at the expense of border security.
Right. No, it is a situation that I believe has the potential for really getting out of hand. And when you combine all of this with a pandemic, then you really have to wonder. How much are they willing to take this? But so what I'm hearing from you is that the people coming over are primarily Mexicans because the Central Americans are not making it to the U.S.-Mexico border, right? Is that correct?
A lot of them are not. A lot of them are not. There's still a good number of them. The vast majority of families, this is the unusual thing, the vast majority of families or so-called families, women with children, that are coming across are Central Americans.
Yes,
those are. But a lot of young Mexicans, and young Mexicans, like I said, they're fleeing the cartels.
Mm-hmm.
They're fleeing the violence. They don't want to get involved. They're the ones that are ending up coming across. And then because so many Mexicans already have relatives here in the United States.
Right.
Gosh.
You're right. The problem is that historically they've come over, and if they have a relative or they know somebody, they can always get a job at a restaurant or a hotel or something like that. But given the state of the economy right now, where are they going to get those jobs? Jobs are just not there like they used to be. So that's that becomes a real problem. Well, George, make sure you light up that fireplace and cover yourself. We're certainly going to try to do that ourselves here. And hopefully the next time we
speak. I
cannot
imagine, you know, your situation, buddy. I cannot imagine. I mean, I hope
you certainly
hope that you're okay.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a task up here to get through all of this. But, you know, we just have a lot of blankets, as they say.
Oh, listen to you. Oh, Silvio, you got to be careful, buddy.
Yeah, I do. I've been battling a little cold up here. All right, George, have a wonderful day.
You take care. Be good.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Our good friend George Rodriguez, talking from South Texas, talking a little bit about the border and talking a little bit about the situation with the Super Bowl and the cancel culture. But this situation in the border, we've got to be very careful because they can get out of control very fast, very, very fast. We've seen that happen before. And when it gets out of control, it gets out of control. And then it gets into the political arena, and it becomes a very difficult political issue. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Forgive my voice. I've been battling a bit of a cold. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.